Oh, and we're rolling. Heya! Thank you so much for tuning into And We're Rolling's premiere series, Era of Sundering. As a dark fantasy actual play, listener discretion is advised for this miniseries. Content warnings for this episode may include darkness, flirting, sexual innuendo and objectification, manipulation, complex and complicated relationships, weaponry, hunting, fantasy violence, impalement, blood and gore, murder and killing, hunger, deicide, and divine cannibalism, with descriptions of sexualized nudity. In recap to last episode, Fedrin sought answers about their lineage from the under, a hunger grew within, and we finally met our god killer. Now, onto the episode, chapter 3, The Hunger Only Grows.
It's freeing. The darkness, the cold, the cave, the stone against the blades. Is this what it felt like? To be unbroken? To be of liberty to yourself? I can feel the divinity. The hunger, it's growing like a fungus, like a need, like an unknown freedom that I'm reaching for. This wasn't a devouring, it was a liberation, as it should be for the rest. One by one, my hunger would be fed. Oh, my darling. Your screams hurt as my heart reaches for you. But in the end, hunger always wins. And freedom always finds its way. So I guess it's time to hunt a beast out in the open and leave the darkness of this cave and swear to the secrets that are left behind. I'm hungry and I must feed myself.
Fedrin, in the darkness of this deep cave, after having devoured the one who has ever loved you the most, what do?
I go to the mouth of the cave, and I speak to the darkness behind me, to the one sitting in it who brought me here. I won't come for you yet. Perhaps you can help me with more. But that's of your own choosing. And I would like to wield a power.
Yeah, let's roll for it. Roll to wield a power. Let's read out what it says real quick. Which also, fun fact, you now have a renown move. So that's a fun one too. So to wield a power. When you wield a power to do something only a god can do, roll 2d6. Add 1 for each true statement. You've done this specific act before perfectly. No. You're desperate for this to work. Are you desperate for this to work? No. You're close to a shrine, lair, or domain of the god you took this power from. I'm going to say yes, because you can feel, even in the after effects of this, there's no better word for it, this devouring. You can feel that there's like a portion of their being spiritually still haunting this ground. So I will give you a point for that. So you're going to add a plus one.
Okay. Nine.
Okay, on a hit, which is a 7 and 9, you do it. What do you do, Fedrin?
I feel my body lighten as I begin to walk upward on the cliff face to the top so I may head home.
Yeah, you... It's almost like flying on the back of the Unbroken again, except with your own 2 feet as you move up this cliff face. It is... It's strange, actually, because when you had gone in there, it was, what, twilight? Dusk? And now it is dawn. The sun is slowly rising, its golden rays warming your skin. Or it would be if you weren't so covered in the golden viscera of your divine, which causes a chill down to your very core, your very soul, as these lights hit the golden viscera of the Unbroken. What do you do as you reach the top?
I think I don't even worry about what's on me. I think I just walk home. I just walk.
Yeah. It's a lot different walking home versus flying from it. When you flew from prominence on the back of the Unbroken, it took about 3 weeks, roughly. You know that now this will take you even longer. Do you keep track of the days as you walk?
No. I don't.
Unbeknownst to Fedrin, 36 days pass as he walks. As he walks and walks and walks past cliffs, past rivers, past forests, past sand, past everything. You encounter no divine, wandering or settled, on your walk towards home, Fedrin. And it's almost eerie, because you don't actually encounter anyone at all. Mortal or immortal. Fedrin, when you are about 3 days from not your home, but from the domain of your adoptive mother's god, their divine's domain, the Woven, your stomach grumbles. Did you eat at all in those 36 days?
No.
And why would you need to? You don't need the water from the river. You don't need the flesh of a beast. You don't need the fruit of the vine, the produce of the ground. No, Fetrin, now that you have unlocked this hunger, the only thing that would ever satisfy you ever again is the flesh of a divine. Fedrin, as you walk, what emotions do you feel?
As I walk through forests and fields and swamps and marsh, it's euphoria. It's freedom, hunger, primordial feelings, things that own divine, and those who are not mortal can understand. I can feel the eyes on me, despite no one being here. There is one that always has eyes on me. They've told me themselves. And I know my adoptive mother's divine has eyes everywhere. I should feel sad, burdened, like something is missing. But consuming her, consuming my darling, only made me feel closer to her. Only made me feel powerful. Perhaps this is how I can get close to them, for them to see me as I deserve to be seen. I feel determined and hungry.
Why? No, why? Why have you done this? Why?
I had to.
It was yours. It was yours. You didn't.
You still are mine.
Fedrin.
Mm-hmm.
As you begin to approach the domain of your mother's divine, your stomach rumbles. It groans. It has gone 36 longer and longer days without devouring again. But you catch not one, not two, but three scents on the wind. You, of course, would recognize all of them. You grew up among all of these divine in some way or another, after all. The first is the easiest, the quickest to make sense of. It is of the woven, of her and her loom. She sits and weaves the tapestry of the world's tale. The second, you recognize the scent of iron and pure gore, and would know it to be that of the conflict. The third, you remember most keenly from the night of the party, that of the roaming divine, the beast. What do you do?
Well, I guess the hunt begins. I head towards the beast.
So I'll have you roll Recognize a God.
Okay.
Just because that's the one that makes sense, because you're trying to seek out the beast. So when you want to recognize the signs or influence of a divine, roll 2d6. Add one for each true statement. You're in or near their domain. I'm going to give you one for that because it's a roaming divine. You're familiar with their gospel. Would you say Fedrin is familiar with the quote-unquote gospel of the beast? There's not a typical set of gospels in this, but in this case
I believe so.
Okay. And it'd be bad if you didn't know. I'm not going to say it's... I don't think it'd be bad, because you've kind of just been alone this whole time. And it'd be the kind of situation where if some divine had wanted to attack you, they would have at this point.
Yeah.
You're going to add a +2 to this.
Okay.
That is a... Thank God for that +2. It's a 7. Oh. I rolled a 2 and a 3.
So the GM will give you a clear interpretation of the omens. Ask your GM a single follow-up question of your choosing. And they must answer honestly. So, as you are walking, you are able to kind of catch the scent trail, specifically, of the beast. They're, unlike most animals, they don't have, like, a specific territory they roam. Mm-hmm. It is more of a situation where they have kind of, like, the entirety of the continent that they will roam. And sometimes they have certain patterns in certain areas they'll kind of specifically chill around.
Yeah.
But in this case, you do find the trail. It's going through the Woven's domain specifically. And what is your follow-up question?
How can I do this without being seen by the Woven?
I don't think you can. I think it's the case of, rather than just being, that you won't be seen by the Woven. It's, I think, more of a case of the Woven will see you, but the way you go about it will determine the Woven's actions in response to what you do.
Okay, so I have to be tactical about this.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just rush in.
No. Fedrin, it has been 36 days since you have seen another living being. What do you do when you hear a pair of feet crunching on snow and leaves combing through this forest that surrounds your mother's divine's domain?
I would like to wield a power.
Okay, yeah.
I would like to wield specifically the gravitational manipulation of my own weight to lift myself up into trees to be hidden.
Okay, yeah. So we're gonna have you roll for that. I'm gonna give you a point because you have done this perfectly now. Are you desperate for this to work?
No, I don't think Fedrin's desperate.
Okay. And you're not gonna get a point because you're not close to a shrine, lair, or domain of the god you took it from, because for this effect, unless it is a divine that already has a specific domain they have claimed over, wherever you kill or a divine is killed, there's about like a 2-mile radius circle that it would be considered that domain then. Okay. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that is a +1 again.
That is...
Oh no.
It's an 11.
Oh god. Okay.
This is the thing always do an overkill on.
On an overkill, the GM will describe how you also drain, terrify, or wreck what's around you. How do I describe this? I think in your effort to float into these trees, I don't think this is a bad effect, because I feel like this is kind of one that's harder to have a bad effect from. Mm. But you do cause the specks and pieces of snow to float up in reverse, as if opposite to the way they would have fallen from the sky. It's like the individual snowflakes are floating up individually and spreading out, and then as you stop, they stop. So it's just like a bunch of little crystals sitting in the air. And they're all kind of just, even despite your being mostly beneath tree cover, it's like the sunlight is perfectly hitting them in this late afternoon sun. And they're just twinkling like little stars. Are you watching for the individual that is coming through? Okay. There's two individuals that actually are coming through. One, it is very, very easy to recognize because you can see their head through the trees. It is of a big, hulking beast of an individual. Not the beast, but still just as terrifying, if not more so. They are a hulking, monstrous, even looking being that is cloaked in shadow. And there are... what are those? Are those? Yes. Weaponry. Sticking out from their arms and back. Arrows, swords, spears, just about any kind of weapon you could think of. And you are well trained in weapons, Fedrin. Sticking out as if the back of a porcupine. There are two massive curling horns that sprout from the temple, one with a crack in the side of it. And there is a hole in the center of its chest where dark, coagulated blood seems to constantly be pouring out of. You recognize who this is. Not just a who, what this is. This is the conflict in its mortal form. And beside it, cheery as if it were a summer day, is another individual who you also recognize. They are walking with a very juxtaposed sense of ease, even just happiness and confidence and easygoing. They are huge. He is a massive person, even though dwarfed by his divine. He has gray skin, black knotwork of tattoos, almost like what we would call Celtic knotwork now, all across his body. He is shirtless currently. His arms, and you do note, which you've noted this before, that he has two sets of. One set is locked behind his head, his bald, but in the sense of not fully bald, just the hair very shorn, very, very close to the skin, as he has the other set propped on his hips as he is walking nonchalantly beside this hulking beast monster thing of a divine. What do you do, Fedrin, in this moment, as you recognize Immel Mactum, the blessed of the conflict, and the conflict itself?
I don't do anything. I let them pass.
See, the only problem with that, Fedrin, right, is there's a bunch of snowflakes floating around the area you just lifted up from, and I hate to tell you this, Fedrin, there are footsteps in the snow from where you lifted up. Now, you might have moved away or floated to a different section of the trees from the immediate area, but Immel does stop. He looks around, almost seems to let out a bit of a chortle. Now, what is this mess we have here? I know you're hiding, so it's best that you just reveal yourself.
Well, I guess nothing gets past you.
And I'm kind of like, my legs are wrapped around a branch and I'm kind of hanging upside down.
Like a little bat?
I am clean. Like, I've walked through rivers and stuff, so like all of the ichor and stuff has kind of like washed off of me.
Your party outfit is ruined, though.
Yes.
It, like, because I'm fairly, if I remember correctly, you did leave directly from the party.
Yes.
So what does your party outfit look like in its state of disrepair now?
Oh, it is, like, holes along, like, the, It was kind of open on the sides where, like, the sides of my ribs and chest and everything could be seen. But the front of it, that was, like, kind of, like, see-through, kind of, like, a very nice material, is, like, ripped in different places from, like, thorn bushes I've walked through. Like, I do have, like, cuts and bruises because I probably have tripped because I didn't see, like, a drop coming while walking because I was just walking.
Mm-hmm.
I am very aware, but I probably wear a face that seems a bit dazed and confused to kind of play off what has happened, because I don't really want anybody to find out what has happened.
Right. This is the first time in a millennia that a divine has died. You see that almost infuriatingly nonchalant figure standing looking up at you. For context, by the way, Immol is 8'9".
Oh, he is my staggering fucking massive.
Yeah, he's like all muscle too, like a bit of a mixture of the whole, like, the bodybuilder muscle people are familiar with and, like, the strongman muscle. So it's a, like, a little bit, not pudge, but, like, it's not absolutely defined muscle around the stomach, but it's not to the level a typical strongman would have. Yes. And he's just grinning at you. He kind of wears a... it's a weird-ass, almost crown piece of chainmail that sits atop his head. That's, like, got arrowheads dangling from the chains. And they're definitely arrowheads that have been used for things before. Because you can see the rust of old blood that decorates these arrows. He's wearing kind of loose black pants in this moment that are just tied on for easiness sake.
Yeah.
You'd think for one whose divine represents, like, violence and such, you'd think this man would be wearing more armor, but no. No. He simply wields a huge-ass greatblade. Great sword kind of a vibe. And he's just holding it in one of the fists that he has on his waist. You're Wen and Phelim's kid, ain't ya? What are you doing up there?
I was walking home and I heard footsteps and would rather hide just in case it is somebody that would do me harm. And it is somebody that could definitely do me harm, but I wasn't expecting it to be you.
To be fair, I wasn't expecting you to be here either.
Yes. I wasn't expecting to be here either.
Well, why don't you join me in our walk? We're actually heading to dear old Phelim's place soon anyways. So why don't you follow with us? I'm sure you could appreciate the company.
As much as I would love to go see my mom, I would like to go home and get fresh clothes. Kind of torn up. Right, let's see. I appreciate the offer.
I don't think, if I remember correctly, your place wasn't too far off from Phelim's place. I remember her talking about helping build it.
Yeah, yes. I wouldn't want to make you
too late. We could drop you off on the way.
Really, I wouldn't want to make you too late if you have a meeting with...
Oh, we don't have a meeting with her. We're just going to go see her.
Well, in a way, isn't that a meeting also? Just going to...
Not if she doesn't know it.
I'm sure she knows it.
Eh. It's going to be fine.
You know
who
her divine is.
I know who her divine is. She doesn't let anyone forget it.
Yes, and she definitely knows you're coming.
All the more reason to bring you along.
I am very sneaky, and I have never snuck up on that woman a day in my life.
Fedrin, it's an odd thing having such a nonchalant conversation with a man standing next to the hulking monstrous form of the Divine of Violence, with the coagulated blood still dribbling out of that center chest wound that's in the perfect shape of a circle. And it just stands there silently. And you notice that it does have a matching sword. A much, much bigger one that's at least the size of Imol, if not twice the size of Imol. That it is dragging at its side. This one is a black blade that is corroded in many places and is just completely soaked in seemingly ever-fresh blood as it is dragged through the snow.
I don't think I fear the conflict the way that other people do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I fear Imol Makdum the way that other people do either.
Mm-hmm.
Imol Makdum feels like somebody that, like, before I was involved with the Exposed, I feel like maybe Imol Makdum was somebody that I feel that Ren doesn't get along with Imol Makdum.
No, Wen does not like Imol at all.
And I feel
never.
I feel that Imol is somebody that Fedrin flirted with and, like, gave attention to in, like, rebellious moments.
Yeah, Imol's, like, in that weird position where he is closer to your age than he is to Wen's age. But he has been a blessed for since he was a teenager. So yeah. He's been a blessed for a long time.
Yeah. I think at this point, Fedrin is going to be a bit cheeky here.
Mm-hmm.
I think I, like, he's 8'9". I'm not really, really high up in the tree. Mm-hmm. I am probably literally, like, as I am dangling upside down, I am probably face to face.
Oh, absolutely. You're kind of in a Spider-Man situation.
And I'm just like, I kind of look at him and I think I kind of, like, playfully, like, bring my thumb to, like, pinch the edge of his chin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, does somebody want attention? I don't want to make my father mad.
Oh, always. You know me. I can't get enough of it, but you're a little too late for that, Fedrin.
You are too.
Cheeky. No, I mean, you know Animatus, right?
Of course.
Oh, pretty you little too. Thing. Yes, us too.
That's...
Don't tell anyone else, but we've actually been dating on and off for about a year now.
Stop.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Exposed ate that up when they found that out.
That's the thing.
They
haven't
know.
Exactly told the Exposed yet.
You are putting me in a very difficult position.
I know, it's so fun, so wouldn't it be a good idea if you come along with us?
But I do need to get home.
We'll take you home.
I don't want you to be late to surprise
Fedrin.
Me,
yes.
Where's the Unbroken right now?
Off doing who knows what. I don't control her.
Imol Makdum has a look on his face. Have you ever seen the look on someone's face before that knows your deepest, darkest secret and
yes.
knows that they know it? That is the type of shitting grin Imol Makdum has on his face right now.
I think my face drops.
Where is she really? Fedrin?
She is gone.
You kind of see him nod his head slowly. He's still smiling, but his mouth is closed. It's doing that, like, yeah, I already knew that. Kind of a nod. Fedrin, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We all felt her die 36 days ago. Don't know how. But your parents have been looking for you.
Well, don't know how it happened either, because it was extremely dark.
So you're saying... Oh! That fucking coward. I didn't think he had it in him. The under finally fucking did it. Do you hear that? And you see this nonchalant man with one of his elbows nudging the conflict, which is suddenly so very close to you.
I kind of give like a curt nod in like respect to the conflict.
Does not respond visibly.
I do not expect it. I just know to respect.
Emil kind of like goes to grab you with a set of his arms if you let him.
I think I will. We have kind of like a flirtatious friendship, so I kind of. But, like, I also am very adamant about not following them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, like, on my face.
Vedran, your parents have been looking for you. All over the place.
Yes. I understand.
Now, let me in on the secret. I want to know. Did the under do it? They finally buck up the courage.
You know, that's where my brain goes, but I'm telling you, it was a darkness I've never experienced before. I can only hear things, I couldn't see things. And then it was silence.
They let you into their heart?
I was... I've been walking for a very long time, and I just want to go home.
Man, I can't believe they finally fucking did it. No offense, Fedrin. But... That
doesn't
bastard.
Make me feel good.
Don't worry, I'll keep your secret. Seriously, at least let me escort you home. You've been through a lot, clearly.
You know I can handle myself better than most.
I know.
We've fought a couple times.
That's true, but for my own sake. At least let me take you home. I'm sure Animatus wouldn't mind.
I wouldn't be worried about Animatus not minding. I have other eyes on me, too.
I bet they'd find it hot. Your little secret.
I'm sure they would. Question. What do you see when you look at the exposed?
I see Animatus.
Don't be gross and say Animatus.
I see Animatus. Nude.
Well, I hate this. Why did I ask the question?
but with the biggest tits you've ever seen. Don't get me wrong, Animas is cute and all, but they're a little flat for my taste.
You are such a man.
You know you like it.
I'm gonna tell her you said that.
You're no fun.
I'm sorry. I just... Men are putrid half the time. It doesn't exclude you. Yes, you're my friend. But you act putridly. But, you know, it in the act of violence, putridness comes. So I guess it's fitting.
Stop, you're gonna make me...
Well, I should get home. You can continue to my mother and father. You can let them know that I'm okay and at my home. But I really don't need an escort. I appreciate it.
If you insist.
I do.
Fedrin, in that moment... Something goes running through the trees. The thing that you were hunting for all of a few minutes ago, before this interaction. How do you react?
I think I clock it, but I don't make it evident. And I kind of just lean up, pat Emil's one cheek, kiss the other, and say, "Give Anamatis my best. And you can let my mother and mother father know that I am safe and at home."
You see, Fedra and Emil's eyes are no longer on you. Instead, they are looking past you.
It's behind you. That's behind me, isn't it?
No, but I'm not gonna let you get it first. You see a look in this man's eyes. Well, why don't you... either feel someone out or connect with someone first in this moment.
I will feel I will connect with someone.
Okay. So when you try to connect with someone, tell them something intimate and answer one. The GM will reveal a fragment of their pain as they answer the other. What common ground do we share, and what still divides us?
So something intimate was the truth about the Unbroken for me.
Mm-hmm.
I will answer what still divides us.
Okay.
Though they are blessed, I have the power of my God. They do not. That I know of.
And the common ground that you both share is you both share the same prey. As you look into this man's eyes, a man you have been friendly, even flirty with for years now, you see a darkness in his eyes. A darkness that you know in this moment has always been there. That he is just now being allowed to show the world. As he follows the thing that is running through the trees. I'm gonna get that one first.
You wish. I would like to wield a power.
Yeah! What are you doing?
I would like to use my grounding manipulation to make myself lighter so that I can run faster than him.
Okay. Yeah. So you get a plus one for having done this before perfectly. Are you desperate for this?
Yes.
Okay. Make sure to mark one strain.
I am desperate to put him in his place.
So that's a plus two to wielding your power.
Don't fuck me, dice.
What'd you get?
I'm gonna roll it.
So it's a plus two?
Yeah.
I got a seven.
Perfect. Yeah, you are able to do this perfectly. You're still in the trees. So how do you make yourself move faster?
Well, I am in his arms.
Oh, that's right. You did let him pick you up, huh?
Yeah.
He was kind of holding you like a cat, like you would hold like a cat. So you're just like being held under the armpits.
So I think what I do is I lift, like, I know well enough that if I lift my arms up, I will slip through his hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that, and I just dip. Yeah, I just run as fast as I can.
Yeah, it's easy, and you can find the trail so easily now that you have the scent locked in. You can kind of hear Emil shout behind, "Hey! What?" And you kind of hear him taking... you hear him taking off after you. You don't hear the conflict. Hmm. But then again, when have you really ever heard the conflict except for in battle? You take off after these figures. Do you want to do another recognize a god?
I do.
Okay, which god are you trying to recognize?
So, I'm thinking it's the beast that's running.
Okay.
Or a semblance of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
If I had the scent.
Yeah.
I would like to recognize that over the conflict.
Okay.
Because I feel the conflict is such an overbearing presence.
Oh, absolutely.
That I'll realize it when they're there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The beast is more of a wandering, lingering type thing. That mm-hmm. recognizing that would be more important in a hunting standpoint.
No, absolutely. So you're going to get a plus one for being near their domain. You're a plus one for being familiar with their gospel. I'm gonna give you another plus one because I do think in this moment it'd be bad if you didn't know, because it is the prey you're hunting and you could lose the hunt otherwise.
Okay. Oh my god.
What'd you get? With that plus three?
An 11. I got a 5 and a 3 on the die.
Perfect. Okay.
God damn it.
Here's what happens, Cedrin. You take off. You feel lighter than air in this moment as you are racing through. You're kicking up snow that for a moment even hovers in place before falling back to the ground in little slow floating pieces. You run, chase after these massive paw prints, because that's what they are, Fedrin. They're paw prints. No. They're claw prints? No. Footprints? Maybe? As you chase after the beast, and you can feel yourself gaining somehow as you are racing and running. And there is a sense of feralness that is starting to run through you as you chase after this, and you know it knows that you're here. You know. And all of a sudden, you are collided into with another very big being. And you would recognize this person as well, of course, because this is the blessed of the beast, Tala, who from the waist up is a huge butch person with tan skin and pale stripes that are kind of like a tiger's across their arms. They have red and black hair that drapes around them in like a mane of sorts. And from the hips down, Ney has the body of a brown elk. and they come barreling into you. And there's a look of wild fear in their eyes as they try to knock you to the ground. And I think one of the consequences that does come from you being lighter than air in this moment is that you are knocked into a tree. What do you think you are doing?
Running.
What are you doing this? There is a look of a mixture of fear and pure anger on Tala's face. And you can hear the beast slowly gaining more and more distance from this clearing. You, my divine, knows what you are doing.
Yes.
You won't be able to. I won't let you.
What is it exactly you think that I'm doing?
I can smell it on you, Fedrin.
What?
The reek of divinity will always stick to your skin. I won't let you take my divine.
Well, from what I've learned, the scent of divinity has always been on my skin. Being that I'm the child of one.
There is a look of surprise that crosses Tala's face when you say this. How did you find out?
A little bird told me. And then the reactions from my parents told me even more.
What do you want, Fedrin?
I'm just playing a game. Do you really think I'd hurt them?
If you're just playing a game, then you leave. They don't want to play a game with you, Fedrin.
I'm not the only one that was chasing them.
Fedrin, when you say that, you suddenly see a massive black blade cut through Tala's chest.
And that's my exit, and I start running again.
Whether you look behind yourself or not as you run, you would see the conflict lifting Tala on its blade and sticking Tala into that perfectly round circle of a hole on its chest.
That.
What do you do?
I think I see that and I laugh to myself and I go, that's devouring, not liberation.
Boring. You know it's not.
I have a hunt to continue.
And I just take off.
Fedrin, as you run, the screams of the unbroken choruses through your head. Louder than before. But you run. And you run. And you can feel. You can tell. You're gaining, but you can also tell that you are running deeper and deeper into your mother's divine's territory. If you don't find a way to end this quick, you'll be upon them in not long at all.
Do I have eyesight?
Yes, but it is lessening as the sun is setting.
Oh. Then it's a good thing. I'm the child of the stars.
I'd like to whip my one scythe.
Mm-hmm.
And since I can manipulate the gravity of my own self, that extends to my weapons. And I would like to make it heavier and light it with starfire so that it impacts almost like a meteor in the side of the beast.
Fedrin, are you inflicting violence?
I am very well inflicting violence.
Yeah, roll me your 2d6. We're going to add one for each true statement. They wish you harm. No. You're desperate.
Yes.
Would you say you're desperate? Yeah. Yeah. It's personal.
Immel made it personal.
So that's going to be a plus two.
Okay. That is a seven.
You are getting so lucky with so
many. I rolled a four and a one. I'm not changing these dice. They're rolling good for me.
Like, we have to let Fedrin have a win. So yeah, on a hit, this part of the fight ends on your terms. What happens, Fedrin, when you do this?
As I am running and twirling the scythe, the sickle on the chain, it glows a bright blue, almost white, as the starfire lights on it, and when I let go, it is almost as if the gravity and the wind are pulling it. It's not restrained by the trees that we are running through, and it slams like an 18-wheeler into the side of an unsuspecting car. And as the sickle hitches into the side of the beast, I begin pulling with all of my strength the beast back towards me.
Would you think that the beast has their heart exposed or not, Petra?
Like an animal caught in a trap. It'll do anything to get out. And I think as I'm pulling it, I just go, "Tisk, tisk, darling. Say it. What is your name? Your blessed can help you now."
In this moment, as you are pulling the beast closer to yourself, you can see it desperately trying to shapeshift into a myriad of different animals. There's some you recognize: a horse, a deer, a wolf, a lion, and some you don't. Some your mind couldn't even comprehend in the first place. But your blades are latched into its hind end as it slowly begins to shift and stop shifting as different pieces seem to lock into place. You see what has the body of a red, shaggy wolf, the front legs of a horse, the hind of a deer, a single spiraling branching antler begins to sprout from the center of its forehead. The neck, just as it's blessed, has a long, flowing black mane that seems to trail to the spine. Its tail is that of a lion's, as the heart of the beast is exposed to you. I won't. You can't make me. Release me at this once, mortal.
I think I twist the blade into it more.
It lets out a sound that your brain isn't quite able to compute in as anything other than a scream of pain. But it's odd. It's not a scream, not like the unbroken scream, but it is one of pure pain. And for a moment, it seems to have its mind clear, and it shifts into a mouse and just hops off your blade and starts running again.
Can I grab it before it runs?
I think that would constitute a tempt fate. If that's all right with you.
Absolutely.
I've just realized I probably should have also had you do challenge someone dangerous when you were trying to get it to tell you its name, but it's fine.
That's fine.
It's fine.
Oof. I don't think I get any adds to it. I have no other option.
A skilled ally is lending you a hand. Immel's not your ally in this moment and is not lending you a hand. You have no other options if you're trying... Would you say Fedrin has no other options in this moment?
I believe at this point Fedrin has no other options. He has to get this done now.
Okay. Then yes, you'll have that plus one. You're far from any god that wishes you harm.
Lies.
Lies and I think the conflict wants everyone harm at every moment at any point.
Yeah. plus one.
Yeah. Roll me that dice.
Okay. 6.
Oh, fuck.
Plus one, so a 3.
Oh, fuck. On a miss, the fates laugh in your face. The GM will describe how your plan implodes. So here's what happens, Fedrin. It's not fun at all. You try to grab this mouse. You know the mice from Coraline? The ones that make up the circus mice?
Yes.
It looks like one of those in this moment, minus the little, outfit. Mm-hmm. It's one of those jumping mice. It not only slips through your grasp as you, reach your hand around it, it bites the palm of your hand and then transforms into a crocodile and begins to spin, and you are thrown to the ground as it is rolling with you in its grasp. Which hand does it have in its mouth, Fedrin? Which hand did you use to try to grab it?
Oh, the one that won't be marked by teeth. My emerald hand.
It has it in its mouth as it is spinning you in the snow. And this gives Immel enough time to catch up with the conflict. So what do you do in this split second as Immel catches up and as you're being spun?
I think I'm between two things. I want to get out of it, but also I want to end them as quickly as possible.
Right.
So I'm between inflicting violence and wielding a power.
What was the other one?
And wielding a power.
Okay. You could also...
Because I was thinking of lighting my hand on fire with starfire.
Oh, that's right. Your divinity hasn't awoken yet. Huh. Because I was going to say you could also technically unleash your divinity, but your divinity is still dormant.
Yes.
Because I don't think you've done...
I haven't thrown myself in the way of a mortal in danger.
No, you could have, technically, if you had tried to save Tala, but I don't think you would have honestly had the time to.
Bitch got in my way, and I'm not fighting the conflict.
Fair enough.
You know what? I think I'm just going to bring my freehand scythe down into their head.
Okay, roll me some inflicting violence. So they definitely wish you harm now. Yes. You're desperate.
I am desperate, and it is personal.
It is personal. So roll with a plus 3.
Oh, it's a 10.
Oh, shit. Total? Or...
10 total.
On the die.
I rolled a 4 and a 3, and I had a plus 3. This is a 10 total.
You lose yourself to righteous fury. The GM will tell you the cost of your divinity. So I think... Well, shit. Okay. How do we... My brain.
So, I have an idea.
Okay, tell me your idea.
I don't think I stab them.
Okay.
I think I quite literally bite into them back.
Oh, where do you bite?
I think I bite them. So, crocodiles are armored on top of their body and on the lower body. I think I maneuver while we're spinning to where I am on their underbelly.
Okay.
And I bite into their throat.
Yeah. Yeah. As you bite into its throat. You can feel yourself. Your teeth are sharper than before as they dig into the throat of this crocodile, and you see it start to shift again into something bigger, something still lizard-like, as you pull away and you see before you essentially a massive Komodo dragon, but with golden viscera trailing down its throat as there's a hole in it. It is coughing up poison and blood in this moment, but it is still not dead as it begins to take off running again, and Imol passes you in this moment as the beast shapeshifts into a lion, no, a tiger, no, a horse, no, a moose. And you see the conflict swing its blade and it leap over the edge. You see Imol try to throw the weapon stupidly. He's not the brightest. And have to leave the blade stuck in the ground because it won't come out when he tries to pull it as he runs past. And you see
Imol... I would like to tempt fate.
What are you trying to do, Fudd?
I would like to attempt to throw my scythe into its side again and pull it back before they attack it.
Yeah. I would actually... that's attempt fate, huh? So, skilled allies lending you a hand, no. You have no other options, yes. I don't think you have any options to try to pull it back in this moment. You're far from any god that wishes you harm. No, so that's a plus one. What'd you get?
Seven.
You got seven?
Yes.
Yes. On a hit, you get through it mostly unscathed. The fate spares you for now. So what do you do? As you get out of this.
So
not out of this, but like you
successfully, I am pulling it towards me. I would like to... Okay. Tell me if this is crazy.
Okay.
I would like to jump on top of them.
Mm-hmm.
Wield a power.
Okay.
To make myself heavy.
Okay.
And pin them down. And continue to... And then do a move after that too.
Absolutely. Yeah, you are... I'm gonna even just give this to you. Because you did... You got a 7 on your temp fakes, and I think this will count towards it. That you're able to just immediately make yourself heavier as you, when you pull the beast into your grasp and you leap onto its back and you pin it to the ground. It is squirming, it is scratching, it is biting. You don't even feel the pain as its claws rake across your skin, as its teeth sink into your legs. As you land atop it, you feel no pain as it slowly shifts. It's almost like solving a puzzle, the way each of the different pieces of it lock into place as it's shape-shifting. And you have the heart of the beast below you, as not far away, but still... decent enough, you have a moment or two to do what you need to.
I think I have its heart. I need its name. I need that name. I think Fedrin, instead of attempting to scare it,
mm-hmm.
by like scare it from me, like make it fear me, I look at it and I go, if you give me the name, it's me or them. Do you want me to have the power and continue to do it? Or do you want them to have your power? It's your choice. I came after you because they started coming after you.
The beast looks at you with old and new eyes as its form slowly stills. pure terror of only that of a hunted prey animal is what sings in their vision. Gold viscera decorates its throat where you had bitten down on it. It's staying no matter how it changed form. It stares up at you. Neither of you would be able to kill me in any way that ever mattered.
Do you want to be devoured, or do you want to be liberated?
You see it close its eyes and lay its head down on the snow. I'm gonna have you challenge someone dangerous in this moment, though.
Okay.
When you challenge someone dangerous in front of an audience, because I'm counting Immol and the conflict as your audience in this moment, say what foolish or risky action you hope they'll take and roll 2d6. Add one for each true statement. They care about your opinion. I'm gonna say yes in this moment. I do think the beast actually does care about your opinion. They think they're stronger than you. Yes. I think even though that you have them pinned, I think they do think they're stronger than you still.
I'm just lucky.
The crowd is on your side. And I'm going to also say yes, because I do think that any form of violence immediately makes both of them on your side. So that's a plus 3.
Oh, Jesus, okay.
Oh.
What'd you get?
I got a 13.
Jesus Christ, Derek.
I rolled a 10 on the die.
Jesus Christ.
I rolled 2 5s. I'm sorry.
Oh,
no, I'm not.
See, if it makes you feel better, I keep secretly hoping you're gonna get strained, because I want to play more strained, but you keep getting lucky. You have, like, what? Two strain?
One strain.
One strain, okay.
I have one strain.
So I think... You remember how I said that they think they're stronger than you? Fedrin, as you have this beast pinned to the ground, you sat, I'm guessing, on its midsection with it beneath you.
I feel like it's, like, caged under me, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am, like, actually, like, laying on it.
Okay.
Instead of, like, instead of straddling it, I am, like, my legs are kind of, like, holding its legs down while my arms are kind of holding its arms. It's, like, its front legs down. So I'm, like, kind of caging it in rather than, like, because I wanted to be close to its face to talk to it.
Okay. Okay. A split second after you think it has given up, it does something only a divine could ever do. And you hear it roar without opening its mouth. And you hear the thunderous footsteps of a multitude of different animals stampeding towards you. What do you do?
I don't move.
You don't move?
I'm sticking my ground.
Okay.
I think as it does that, I look at it and I go, I am offering you an out with dignity where they'll just consume you. I did not hurt Tala. I could have. They did. I understand you're scared, and this is horrible. But would you rather be devoured and forgotten by that? Or a piece of your power been given to me and continued on?
I think this has to be a challenge someone dangerous again.
Yeah.
in all honesty.
Yeah.
Or actually.
Attempt fate?
No. The servant renown move.
Oh.
Because you have killed exactly one god. So you can ask one of the following questions once per session.
How can I make them trust me?
How can they make... Okay. Ooh. Ooh, it's a hard one. Okay. I don't think you could make them trust you if you keep threatening to liberate them, but instead offer allyship to help them escape their other two hunters.
But I want...
You would have to choose.
GM.
Yeah.
I look at them.
Mm-hmm.
And I lean close to their ear. And I say... You're lucky that I'm in a moment like this. I will not kill you. But you have to give me your name for me to be able to help you.
Oh god, I think... I know I keep making you...
Roll.
Oh, God.
I can't even spare them without their name.
Yeah. I almost make you want to roll Tempt Fate in this moment. But I don't know how well that would apply to this situation. And I know I've been making you roll that a whole bunch tonight.
So I was gonna. Question.
Yeah, what's up?
Technically, you refer to the divine being in their truest form as being in their mortal form, correct?
Correct. This is the beast's true mortal form.
Technically, I am hurling myself in obvious danger to help a mortal form.
Are you asking me to,
if I could divine trigger?
You know what? Fuck it. Why not? I'll count it.
And while I do that, I would like to unleash my divinity.
Yeah. I can't believe you've pulled this with me. Oh my god. Yeah. Yeah. When you unleash your awakened divinity, describe how your godhood surges forth as you exert your will upon reality. You accomplish a single brilliant feat with one side effect of your choosing. It is brief, it is obvious, and it is unsayable. Afterwards, your divinity becomes dormant much more. What do you do, and what is its side effect?
I think around me, a large crater starts to form, because my original divinity is starfire.
Right.
Stars have heavy gravity.
They do.
So going along with my divine power from the Unbroken, I think gravity around me just is mixed up, where some things float and the other parts there's a crater. And by unleashing my divinity, I would like to make me and the beast teleport, if possible. I don't have a place in mind, which is probably the unstable part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have no control over this. I've never tried to do this before, ever in my life. It's not like the gravity power. It's not like Starfire. This is something I have never, ever tried to do, but I need to prove to this divine that I am trying to help them, and I need to get away from the conflict because I do not want to deal with them.
Yeah. I think Oh, I'm gonna pull a fast and hard one on you, bud.
Yay.
You, in this moment of pure desperation, manage this feat of ability that only a divine would be able to do, which is teleportation, or something akin to it anyways. And you close your eyes just as the beast had when it had seemingly given up. You touch and feel what looked like had been soft fur but is rough and wiry beneath your hands. And there's almost like a little pop noise. And you hear the sound of someone working a loom. Fedrin. As you hear a little pop in your teleportation, you also do hear something else. In a deep rumble of a voice, you hear one word.
Bea.
And then you hear someone working on a loom.
Did I just get their name? Oh, didn't I? Oh, no.
Edwin, as you open your eyes again after pulling off this feat of pure divinity, the wiry fur of the beast still beneath your palms, you look around and find yourself in a very familiar temple. Before you, sitting at a loom twice your height, maybe even a bit more considering how small you are, there sits a figure. A tall figure. Would you like to guess who?
The Woven.
Ding, ding, ding. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Before you sits the Woven, who is a tall person who looks a bit like a human woman, but with glowing golden eyes, deep brown skin, and thick black curls that are currently pulled into a low ponytail. She has what appears to be golden thread-like tattoos that lace up her arms, and her hands seem to be made of the same gold iridescence that fades into deep brown skin and sprouts into said tattoos that weave their way up her arms. What do you do as you sit before your mother's divine?
I bow. I'm still holding the beast's fur, right?
Yep. You're still atop them.
Was the word I heard their name?
Yes. It was.
I can gather that the Woven gave me their name.
Oh, no, not the Woven. Not the Woven. That's the beast's name.
Oh, yeah, but I'm saying, like, did the beast give it to me, or?
Yes, the beast.
Oh, the beast did?
Yeah, that was the grumbling voice that you heard.
Okay. I kind of pat the beast's fur a little bit. And I clear my throat.
the beast, who still has their throat bitten open.
Rhea was the word that I got, correct?
No. Bea.
Bea, okay. Well, I thank you for that. But unfortunately, this is part of the story. And I'd like to kill a god.
Absolutely.
And I think it's the same way that I took my own divine. It starts as my sickles and turns into devouring. Oh my god, please give me something good. an 8.
An 8. You got so lucky. Oh, so lucky. On a hit, they seize something vital from you as well. Name what vital part of yourself you lose as you kill the beast.
I think they seize my wildness, the ferility that comes with the hunger and everything. I think that's the part that they seize from me, is that no longer will this be wild and feral, but instead calculated and tactical.
Yeah. What does it look like as you devour another divine before another divine?
It is oddly polite. Like, I don't know how you could be polite doing this, but it's almost like I do it with my back to the woven so that they do not have to fully see what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like I'm ashamed. Eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like eating at a fancy restaurant in a way, where you feel the need to be on your best etiquette.
Yes.
As you, without much of a better word, tuck into the devouring the form of the beast. It's neater than your first time, as that wildness is sapped from you with each bite. Golden Viscera still, of course, decorates your mouth and the front of your outfit. But it's done in pieces rather than your mouth to immediate flesh ripping and tearing. But you know, even with your back to the woven, her eyes are on you. It takes an hour to completely devour the beast. And there is not a single piece left behind, not even bone. All that remains of where a divine last laid is its outline in Golden Viscera that stains the marble temple floors. And only when you are done does the woven speak. I'm sad to see that you went down this path, dear child.
Was there any other path?
If you look at her, it's like as she moves about the loom, the speed her hands move does not match the speed this tapestry is coming out. Because before your very eyes, you see an exact copy of the scene that we just saw. Of you, your mouth covered in golden viscera, leaned over the beast with pieces of its flesh in your hands, being cut by your scythes. And it's laying there, quiet as a grave. I wish I could say no, dear child. But even I could not have foretold that this would be what would happen.
Why was it kept from me? Who my parents were?
You see, for the first time you've ever seen, the woven stand from the loom, no longer working upon it, yet work still being done. As she walks over to you, slowly growing smaller, not close to your height, but close to that of the exposed. She takes a soft cloth, and just as your mother would have, wipes away the blood from your face. Because we did not want you to know the pain of the truth.
Did you fear that this would happen earlier? Or that I would have vengeance in my person? Was it just the lock and key to holding back a monster?
No parent wishes to see their child hurt in a manner they cannot help. Your parents simply wished to try to save you from that pain, to save you from what you could be. But they simply gave you the power to become it.
I am terrified.
I know. And I'm sorry that this has happened to you.
We don't want to hurt anymore. I don't want to do this, but it was either me doing it or the conflict doing it to them.
I know. I know that this is not something you could have stopped, even if you had wished. And you see the woven kneel beside the outline of where the beast had laid. And you watch as she so gently touches the outline, and you watch as the gold viscera, the puddle left behind, slowly drains into the matching gold of her fingertips. And you, it's one of those kind of things that if you were to blink, you would have missed it. But you almost see a flash that envelops the room. And in it, you see all sorts of herd animals standing in a circle around all of you, of the two of you. And then it's gone. And Fedrin, this is the first time you've ever witnessed a divine claim a domain that is not their own. As you've just witnessed the Woven claim the domain of the herds. But what's interesting to note is she does not claim the packs in this moment. She stands again and gently pulls you into a hug.
I think at that point Fedrin does break down.
Mm-hmm.
And cries.
Yeah.
The Woven feels so much like their mother.
Mm-hmm.
That it's uncanny. Will they be okay?
I can't say. This sort of thing has not happened in a long, long time. And I don't even know where Divine goes when it is killed on the blow.
I can't go home, can I?
You could try. But it would not help you.
It would only cause trouble for my parents.
I'm so sorry to tell you this, Fedrin, but what you have begun, it, you will never be able to save them from what will befall them.
You're not angry with me, are you?
You kind of see her make a face that's like a mother looking at a child who has done something by accident that has forever changed that mother's life in not a good way, but still feels the need to comfort her child in hopes to at least make the child feel better. She kind of just holds your face in one of her hands, rubs your cheek with her thumb, and with a sad smile says, I'm so sorry that this has happened to you.
I should go before. I don't want to hurt you. I should go before something happens and it comes back. I should find somewhere to go that where maybe I can't hurt anybody.
There is one thing you could do that would prevent you from hurting me but it is too dangerous for me to be able to help you with it now. Not after two are gone. You look so much like your mother, Veteran. I'm so sorry you never got to meet her.
It's not your fault.
You should go. Wen and Phelim are coming. They felt what happened.
Yes.
The river's on their way as well.
I'm sorry.
I know, dear one. I know. Here, go out the back way. Go out the back. And you see, as she grows again, she moves to the back wall back by the loom and pulls aside a tapestry, and you see a passageway out the back.
Thank you.
Just know you are loved, no matter what you do.
I'll try to remember, and I go.
Thank you so much for tuning into Era of Sundering. If you enjoyed the show, please like, share, comment, subscribe, and join us every Monday for the live premiere. If you're feeling particularly kind, rate us 5 stars and leave a review. Find us on Twitter, I'm not calling it X, YouTube, Twitch, and spaces of some variation of Envy Rolling. Or, you know, just check our description. Today you have heard me, Puck. I am the GM for And We're Rolling. You can find me all over the web spaces at The Puckening or Puckening. As well as today, you have heard my wonderful god killer, Derek.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Derek, the voice and person behind Fedrin in Era of Sundering. You can find me all over on the interwebs at Derek Does RP. That's DerrykDoesRP. DoesRP. Or under the guise of Queers and Spears. Social medias, that's my own AP that I run. If you're talking to those accounts, it's probably me. Thank you for listening to this episode, and we will see you next week.
Bye.